Morning, brothers and sisters. Nice to see everybody here. And I also want to welcome the brothers and sisters joining our service online. And this morning, as a church family, that we also welcome the arrival of the second child, Micah, Felicia, and Pastor Bronco. We thank God everybody is healthy and safe, especially the dad. All right, so this morning we continue the sermon series on the book of Galatians. And this morning we will discuss chapter 4, verse 21, all the way to chapter 5, verse 15. According to the preaching schedule, we should have only covered until the end of chapter 4. And then chapter 5 for the next two Sundays. But we will have English guest speakers for the next 2 weeks with their own topics. In order not to skip chapter 5, Bronco and I discussed and we agreed that we will cover the first half of chapter 5 this Sunday and the second half on the Sunday 3 weeks later when we start chapter 6. So this is to let you know in case you wonder why our passages are different from the Chinese service for the next few weeks, all right? So, looking at this passage that we just read, you will quickly notice a subject dominating the end of chapter 4. It is about two covenants. Paul contrasts the two covenants in his argument to persuade the Galatians to return to the true gospel rather than following Judaism. And he brings up the story about Abraham's two wives, Hagar and Sarah, and their sons, Ishmael and Isaac, respectively. He says in verse 24, these things are being taken figuratively, meaning these things have spiritual meaning. They have representations. The women represent two covenants. Hagar represents one covenant and Sarah the other covenant. And Paul is comparing the two between the two covenants in the form of contracts as follows. I show the passages on the screen so you can see. So it represents slave versus free. Verse 22 says, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. And in addition, it represents Ishmael versus Isaac and flesh versus spirit and promise. So verse 23, you can see on the screen, says, born according to the flesh versus as a result of the divine promise. And verse 25 and 26 says Hagar stands for Mount Sinai and corresponds to the present Jerusalem versus the Jerusalem from above. So this is the Sinai covenant versus new covenant and present Jerusalem versus Jerusalem from above. And it also represents persecutor versus persecuted in verse 29. And also cast away versus heir in verse 30. I know your heads start to spin now. And being a nice person, I'm kind enough to give you a summary table. If you know the Bible, you will realize these two covenants that Paul is talking about here, the old covenant versus the new covenant, are Mosaic covenant versus Christ covenant. And now your heads just start to kind of spin again, you know. I want to dwell on this subject a bit longer, because once we know the context, it can help us a lot to understand the teachings from Paul. So my goal is by the end of this message, your head will be covenant, 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 covenant. And that's the purpose. You may say the Bible also talks about the other covenants, right? The covenant with Abraham, the covenant with Noah, the covenant with David. But by and large, it's divided into these two main covenants, Mosaic covenant and Christ covenant. And you know, God uses the ways that we humans can understand to reveal himself to us. For example, languages, right? He used our own language that we can understand to reveal himself to us. And covenant. Covenant is another example. There are two main types of covenant in the ancient Near Eastern world: suzerain vassal covenant and parity covenant. Let's talk about the first, suzerain vassal covenant first. Suzerain is an old French word. Sous means above. And sovereign means supreme or sovereign. So it's above, supreme, above, sovereign. So suzerain means a superior. It means a dominating state which has supremacy. Whereas vassal, we all know this name, vassal is a subordinate, it's under control, and it's under protection. So these two have no equal powers. One is very high, and one is very low. So what it does is that a dominating power, you know, a very strong power, comes to a lot smaller and weaker state and says, you know what? I'm a lot stronger than you. You have no cards. I'm a lot stronger than you. And I can destroy you in a second. But what does that do to me? What does that do any good to me if I just destroy you? And I have a better option for you and a better option for me. How about you and I make a treaty? And under this treaty, I will protect you. And I will treat you as my own. As long as you pledge loyalty to me, with a condition. As long as you pay loyalty to me by, for instance, paying me taxes, offering me tributes, etc., doing whatever that I want you to do. So we can say this covenant is a superior servant covenant or master slave covenant. Yeah, you still with me? So, and we can see this type of covenants a lot in the Bible, like between Joshua and Gibeonites, where under this treaty, the Gibeonites would cut wood and carry water for the Israelites. And in return, the Israelites would not attack them, but protect them. So when the five kings of the Amorites attacked Gibeon, Joshua and the Israelites, they had to come for rescue because it is under this treaty. And the other examples are the treaties between Assyria and Israel, and also between Babylon and Judah, where Israel paid tributes to Assyria for their survival, and the same for Judah to Babylon 100 years later. And listen, it is an if-then covenant. If you do that, then I will do this. If you don't do that, then I won't do that. And if this happened, the covenant is broken. And when the covenant is broken, you know what happened? Then I will destroy you. I will destroy you. And that's the result of Israel and Judah. They were destroyed in the end because they broke the covenant. They broke the covenant. And so this is the suzerain vassal covenant. The other covenant is between two equal parties called parity covenant. Parity means being equal. Being equal. The two nations with equal power form an alliance. It is a pact of friendship. Yours is mine, and mine is yours. If one party is attacked and the other party is obligated to defend, a bit like NATO today, it is a covenant of family. We form a family and we are one. It is a blood pact. In Chinese, we say 生死盟. It's a treaty for life and treaty until death. So the ceremony of a covenant, of this parity covenant, often involved blood. The animal was cut into half. In other words, we are one. But if any one of us breach this covenant, it's like an animal cut into half. What that means is we are dead. That is our covenant. That is our covenant. We live together and we die together. So this is not transactional, like, you know, like the suzerain vassal covenant. And it's not conditional either. It is relational, it is emotional, and it is perpetual, because we have this covenant until death. So it is like a covenant between David and Jonathan. You remember, the Bible says Jonathan became one spirit with David, became one spirit with David. And he even gave David his robe, his tunic, and even his sword, his bow and belt, the ones critical for his own life. It means my life is yours and your life is mine. Marriage is, or is supposed to be, another example of the parity covenant. We, formerly two individual parties, now form into one, form one single unit. I will love you and I will take care of you no matter what. And you will do the same to me until death do us apart. Is this covenant good? Is this covenant good? Very good. It's good for life. But is it easy to keep? No, not at all. In the Bible, King Ahab of Israel formed a covenant with King Ben-Hadad of Aram, calling him brother. So it's a parity, covenant, calling him brother. And King Ahab later also formed another covenant with King Jehoshaphat, of Judah, through marriage. So it's another parity covenant. So these were all this type of parity covenants, but delay last long? No. Both treaties didn't last long because of conflicting interests. One party did the honor, and it broke apart. So now, here's the key message. God wanted to have a relationship with humans, to form a covenant with us. He is God, almighty and powerful. So he couldn't find any equal. He has no equal. He has no equal. Therefore, the only covenant that he could form with humans is what? It's suzerain vassal covenant. It is the Mosaic covenant on Mount Sinai. It is the Ten Commandments and the related rules and regulations recorded in the books of Moses, the basis of the Old Testament and Judaism. You will be my people. You will be my nation. If you follow my commands as such. So it is an if-then covenant, if-then relationship. If you do this, then God will do that. If you do this, then God will bless you. If you do that, then God will make you above all nations. Is this good? Is it good? Of course, it is good to have a covenant with the most powerful in the world, God. It is based on how we do it, with only one problem being that we can't do it. It's based on how we do it, but we can't do it. We cannot do our part. So the covenant is breached. The old covenant is broken. And you know what? In principle, when the suzerain vassal covenant is broken, God can do what? God can destroy us. Because he is suzerain. Suzerain. We are vassal. He is all powerful, and we are nothing. But did God do that? No, God didn't do it. God didn't do it. Instead, God still wanted to have a relationship with us. So, a new covenant is needed. A new covenant is needed. Better covenant, a covenant that can never be breached. The new covenant is parity covenant. God wants to form a family with us, not based on a master-slave relationship, but based on a family relationship. Not transactional, but perpetual. But there's a problem. What problem? God still has no equal. God still has no equal. So how could he form a parity covenant with humans? How? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says, who, being a very nature God, that means he has no equal, he has no equal, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In other words, he doesn't want to use the suzerain covenant. He doesn't want to do that. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself low, became human, became a servant, became equal with us, so he can now form a parity covenant with us. And not only that, Jesus himself became the sacrifice of the covenant. When he died, the curtain of the temple was split into two as the animal was cut into two halves. He was broken on the cross, shedding the blood, becoming the sign, becoming the witness, becoming the sacrifice for the perpetual purity covenant between God and humans. Moreover, not only Jesus became equal to us by becoming a human, we can also be elevated to be the right standing with God, to be equal with God, so to speak, to be in his family as his son and as his daughter. So Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, he says, therefore, since we have been justified, this means we have God's justification. We are the same level of God in terms of justification. We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We now stand as we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So through this new covenant, we can be elevated to have the same status of God's righteousness, so we can gain access to grace, to the glory of God. Through this covenant, we can stand in the presence of God, not as a slave, that's the old covenant, but as a son. Not based on the master-slave relationship, but now it's a parity relationship. Is this a better covenant? Of course. That is why Paul trying to persuade the Galatians. It is a better covenant. Through this covenant, we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. And the Spirit dwells in us, so we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are the body of Christ, so we are one with the Lord. We are one with the Lord, and we can call God Abba, Father. We are in one family. We are in this family relationship. We are in this family covenant. And notice, this new covenant is for all humans. But not all humans are by default included in this new covenant. So how to enter this new covenant? By asking a very simple question. Are you willing to be in the family of God? Just these questions. Are you willing to be in the family of God? Because remember, this is a family covenant. If you say no, I'm already a good person. I can do whatever I want to do. I want to be my own. I don't need God because I'm a good person. Then you are on your own, outside the covenant. But if you say yes, how to enter this covenant? One word, faith. We have been justified through faith and gained access into this grace also by faith. It is by faith we enter the new covenant with God. I have just done the introduction. It's long, but with this in mind, the rest can go very quickly. So by faith, we are children of the new covenant. So what does this mean to be the children of the new covenant? First, we are children of promise. Children of promise. So we want to read quite a few verses now. Galatians chapter 4, verse 23 says, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. And his son, the son, is Isaac. And Isaac is a promise boy. So let me ask you a question. Did Abraham believe God for this promise? Did Abraham believe it? Of course he did. He believed, but not without doubts. Not without doubts. Genesis chapter 15, remember this number. Genesis chapter 15 says Abraham believed in chapter 15. But chapter 16, only one chapter later, Ishmael was born because he didn't believe. One chapter later. And chapter 17, another chapter, he believed initially, but later he laughed. He laughed. So, not qualified, not right, not quite believed. And chapter 21, Isaac was born. So, through Abraham, this journey of belief, non-belief, belief, not quite belief, and Isaac was still born. The key event is in chapter 15, first chapter. When Abraham first said, I believe, when he said that, God said, now you are righteous. Abraham was deemed righteousness by God because he said believe. And this verse, it's chapter 15, verse 6, was cited by Paul repeatedly as the basis of salvation by grace through faith. We read that in Galatians, and we will read that in Romans. Because soon after Abraham said, I believe, as soon as he said that, God formed a covenant with him by cutting animals into half. Cutting a heifer, a goat, a ram, a dove, a pigeon, each into two halves. What this tells us is that it was a parity covenant because Abraham was deemed righteousness through faith. Equals. And after this event, after this covenant, though Abraham's faith went up and down, up and down, up and down, but make no mistakes, Isaac was born. Only because God's promise through the covenant, because Abraham believed. So, verse 28 says, now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. What does this mean? First, we are saved by grace through faith as the promise given to Abraham. Second, God's promise will come to pass in your life, in our life, as long as we believe, even sometimes with doubts. Because we are under the canopy of God's promise through Christ, under the new covenant. So, what we should be? We should be glad. We should be happy. Why? Because Galatians chapter 4, verse 27 says, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, shout for joy and cry aloud. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate, woman than of her who has a husband. You know what? Yes, life could be tough, and the future could be dimmed, as if I'm barren, as if I have never bore a child, and I am desolate. However, I still believe in God's promise, though I don't know. To be honest, I don't know about how, when, and if those can really happen. I don't know. I believe, but with a lot of doubts. And, you know, you could be in Genesis chapter 15, where you believe, you say, I believe. But some of you could be in chapter 16. Now you don't believe. You don't believe. You don't know how to believe. And not only that, you did something stupid. Like Abraham, Ishmael was born. And you could be in chapter 17. You believe and don't believe at the same time. No matter which chapters you are in, remember, chapter 21 is coming. Chapter 21 is coming. Isaac will be born. Promises will come to pass. So keep believing. Keep believing and be God. And be God. Number two, we are children of freedom. Chapter 4, verse 31 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So we are the children of freedom. So 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What it means is that your identity, you are the children of freedom. Your identity is freedom, but that doesn't mean you are free. It's the mindset. It's the mindset. We need to choose freedom because we are already the children of freedom. So verse 13 then says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Be free. So we are the children of freedom. We need to be free. It's a decision. It's a decision to be free. And notice, this freedom is not doing whatever you want. It's not. Because of what? You don't need a decision. You don't need a decision to do whatever you want. This freedom is being liberated, being released from the power of sin so you can live as God intended. You can become who God wanted you to be. It's the concept of a free man versus a prisoner or a slave. You have been set free from prison or from slavery, meaning you can pursue your future as you wish, no longer in a dungeon. But it doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do. Otherwise, you may be sent back to prison again because you now are under another set of laws, or a bigger set of laws. We'll talk about that in a minute. So this freedom means your past couldn't define your future. The fact that you are barren, the fact that you don't have experience in having a child doesn't necessarily mean you won't have children like the dust of the earth and stars in the sky in the future. It doesn't mean that. It means your resume couldn't define your future. It means your education couldn't define your future. It means your mistakes and misfortunes in the past couldn't define your future. And you couldn't define your future either. God does. God does. So get alignment with God. Dream God's dream in your life. Number three, you are children of the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 29 says, the Son born by the power of the Spirit. So as the children of the new covenant, we are the children of the Spirit. But what does it mean to be the children of the Spirit? What does it mean? We need to live in love. Live in love. Verse 13 to 14 of chapter 5 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, we just talked about this freedom is not doing whatever you want, because there is another set of laws. This is what this verse is talking about. Do not use freedom to indulge the flesh. But what is the new law? Love. Or what is the new meaning of all the laws? It's love. And Paul then talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit after this passage. And the first fruit, or the first expression of the fruit, being love. The new covenant brings us to the family of God. It is by grace through faith. But after that, do we then throw faith out of the window once we are in the family? You know, we use family to enter this covenant, to enter this family. But after that, do we throw out the faith? No. Because verse 6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And interestingly, this is where Paul's teaching about faith and Hebrews' teaching about faith meet. They meet on this verse. Faith brings us to the covenant with God. But under this covenant, faith expresses itself through love. We need to live in love. There is a new law in this new family. What is it? Love. Love God and love each other, because we are family, because we are under the family of the covenant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. We couldn't keep the old covenant, but you didn't destroy us. You still love us. You want to form a better covenant with us. Therefore, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to become one of us, to be low, to humble himself, therefore to be equal with us. And not only that, you elevated us to become equal with you, so to speak. We human, how can we be equal with you? But only through Jesus Christ, so we can gain access to your grace. Such a wonderful God. How wonderful it is to be with you, to follow you, to have faith in you. So I also want to pray that whoever here has not entered this new covenant or don't know what this new covenant means, this is the chance. We enter this covenant by saying, Lord, I want to be in part of your family. I want to have relationship with your family. I thought I was good in the past. I thought I don't need God. But I realized I need to be in the family with you. I want to be one with you, because I want you to dwell in me so I can dwell in you. So if you haven't done that in the past, I want to give you the opportunity to say, Lord, I open my heart. I open my heart. I trust in my life into your hand. I open my heart. I have faith in you. I believe. Therefore, that I can form this new covenant with you. And you have already paid the sacrifice. You are the sacrifice already for this new covenant. I also want to pray, if some of us here, maybe you have been waiting for, you have been praying. You don't know what your future will unfold. You have doubts. We used to say, I believe, but you have doubts. I want to encourage you today, keep believing. Keep believing. like Abraham. He also had doubt. He even makes stupid mistakes. But because of the covenant, he came back to God, and Isaac was born. So I want to pray, Lord, you help me keep believing, even though I don't see it. I even don't know how. But help me to believe. Help me to believe. And Lord, I know the promise will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.